I want you to understand that what we're about to read happened just before the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper was instituted. What we're about to read here happened just before that. And I don't mean the day before that. I mean the day of that. This happened. And then the supper, the Passover meal, was received. And during the Passover meal, amen, Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, was instituted. So I want you to get the chronology of this. I want you to see the order, because it's real important what he's saying here, amen, involves not just what he's going to do immediately, amen, but what he's going to do throughout this entire meal with them. And it begins with this statement that I'm going to read you, because it says, now before the feast of the Passover. That means just before they sat down to eat it. This was not the day before, the week before. This was just before they were to sit down and eat the Passover. Are you with me in John 13? John's Gospel, chapter 13, and verse 1. Now I want you to listen. Has everybody got this in a clear picture? That what he's going to say here in just a moment involves the entire Passover meal, the entire Holy Communion that evolved out of that. The Lord's Supper came out of him having that supper. And you've seen the artist's depictions of the Last Supper, Jesus sitting with the 12. Amen. Well, it wasn't really the last, it was the Last Supper he was to eat with them before he went to the cross. Amen. But it's not the Last Supper where he's going to meet with us. He meets every time that we come together for Holy Communion. We are sharing that event. We're replaying that event. And I don't believe, as some do in certain segments of religion, that Jesus is in the elements. Amen. Jesus is in us. Praise God. We don't partake of Jesus when we partake of the elements. We partake of Jesus when we receive him as our Lord and Savior. Can you say amen? Thank God he's not just in a wafer. He's in us. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and Jesus lives in every one of us today. Praise God. But I believe he's with us in a very special way when we come together for Holy Communion. Amen. And I think we're losing sometimes the significance of Holy Communion, because it's become more of an ordinance that we participate in than something as holy and wonderful as it is. Amen. That's why when we have Communion Sunday, everything about the service is devoted to that. Everything. We don't just have communion and then break for the commercials of the church and then, you know, get it over with. Some people are kind of astounded at how communion is handled anymore, because it's handled in a way that doesn't give the due reverence to what it represents. Jesus on the cross demands our absolute worship and reverence and love and devotion. And every time we exalt him upon that cross, amen, it calls and solicits from us a deeper life of devotion to him. Amen. I believe he's with us in a special way. I don't believe that supper was the last supper. It's the last meal upon the earth that he physically enjoyed with them. But it certainly isn't the end of communion with his people. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit came? And Jesus said, when he comes back to you, I'm coming back to you. Amen. And I believe that he's here this morning. Do you believe where two or more gathered in his name? He says, there am I in the midst of them. So we're going to share a meal with Christ today. A meal that's represented not by partaking of a great bounty in terms of physical food, but a meal that is enjoyed spiritually by letting the fruit of the vine and the unleavened bread represent the body and the blood of Jesus. And we're going to rehearse again this great event. And we're going to talk about this great love today that should bring every one of us into the deepest devotional life that we've ever had with the Lord. If you ever love him back for loving you like he did, you will find yourself transformed like Simon Peter. Love transformed his life. Amen. What happened to him on the shores of that great sea where he was fishing, when Jesus loved him unconditionally, what happened to him there is what transformed his life. That was before the day of Pentecost. That was before he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? The transforming power of love is underrated in Scripture. We see power when we see the word power. We should see power when we see the word love. Can you say amen? We should see the power of the cross, the power of God's redemptive purpose. We should see it all when we see the divine agape love of God in Scripture. All right? Do you understand chronology here? Amen. That this is not the day before the Passover meal. This is immediately. They've come into the house. They're being seated and now getting ready to move into that Passover meal and that part of that Passover meal, that seder that would become Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper to us, the Eucharisto, the giving of thanks unto God, something that has been done in every successive generation of Christians since that supper. Amen. And something that they instituted, looking back on it, they didn't get it. They didn't understand what he was saying. They didn't get it until after the crucifixion and the resurrection. But then they got it. And they looked back on this meal and they saw, amen, what the cross really meant and what Jesus really, how much God really loved them. Can you say amen? All right, are you ready for this journey before we receive communion? It says, now before the feast of the Passover. Everybody say, immediately before they ate. When Jesus knew that his hour was come and that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. I love the New International. That's where I've taken the title for this communion devotional. And it says it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Everybody say, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The Amplified said he loved them to the last and to the highest degree. He was getting ready to show them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served. The devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot. I'm going to read this in verse 2 from the New International just to clarify. The evening meal was now being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Verse 3, Jesus knew the Father had put all things under his power and that he'd come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And he came to Simon Peter. He said unto him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. Amen. That goes for the entire Passover meal, not just the act of washing their feet. They knew the act he was doing, but they didn't know the significance of that yet. They knew that Jesus was washing their feet and they felt unworthy. And Peter went on to say, Lord, you shouldn't be washing my feet. I should be washing yours. And Jesus said, if you don't let me do this to you, you don't have any part with me. You don't really comprehend. You don't get it. You don't understand. I believe there's a lot of people in ministry today, amen, that speak great volumes from Scripture that still don't get it. You know why I believe they don't get it? Because they know little of the basin and towel. They don't know what Jesus' ministry was really all about. They know what it is to stand in the pulpit. They know what it is to expound truth on Sunday morning. They know what it is to get great allocates from the people they minister to, but they don't know what it is, many of them, to take the bowl and the towel and humble themselves and minister selflessly to other people. Many are whisked away in limos, never to be seen or heard of until the next service because there's a whole staff. And I understand that one person can't carry these mega churches, but I'm still looking for tears sometime to roll down the cheeks of one behind a pulpit, amen, for the terrible condition of the lost and the terrible hurt within a fallen man. Amen. I'm still looking for people with the basin and towel at heart. Jesus said, if you don't let me do this, if you don't let me show you what the real love of God is like and how it works in a practical way, you don't have any part with me. Amen. We've got all kinds of theological explanations of what God is like, but what we need is some more people following Jesus' example. Can you say amen? Jesus said, when you've what? When you've heard this great theological expounding of God's revelation, you'll understand what God is like. No, he said, when you've seen me, when you've seen what I do. He said, because what I do is not my own works. The works that I do, they're not my own, but what I see my Father do. He said, I'm going to show you that God is willing to humble himself in order to love you and minister to you. I want you to understand that, Peter. If you don't get this, he said, you don't have any part with me. You don't understand what I'm all about. You just don't get it unless you get this. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Isn't it incredible, the Jesus we serve? It's hard to find Christ-like people. And yet we all bear the name Christian. Christian means Christ-like. Amen. The Bible said, if you want to be Christ-like, let this mindset be yours. Let this mind be in you, which is also in whom? In Christ the Lord. We honor anointed preachers, not people who are necessarily following Jesus' example. It's the anointing that captures our attention and captivates us. We want to be people of power. Amen. Not necessarily people of grace and humility and love and compassion. And I'm going to tell you, God's power is displayed in compassion and love, not just in anointings and laying on of hands. Amen? Are you listening to me? Today, faith seems to get the spotlight. And because, you know, Scripture says, and above all, taking the shield of faith. Well, let me break that down to you. It doesn't say above all, meaning it's greater than any other piece of armor. The actual Greek says, and in addition. That's how that is worded. And in addition to all the rest, take the shield of faith. It's just saying, don't forget the shield of faith. It's not putting it above everything else. Follow after faith and hope and love, these three. But something supersedes faith, doesn't it? What is it? What is it? Love. But the greatest of these is what? It's love. Jesus said, I want you to know the full extent of the Father's love. I want you to know the full extent of my love. He girded himself. He got down. He started washing their feet. And they thought, no, you shouldn't be doing this to us. We should be doing it to you. He said, if you don't let me do this, I can't show you what I'm trying to show you. That God loves you enough to humble himself, come down in a human body, take your sin upon his sinless self, and go to a cross and be punished for your sin just so he could save you. There's no love like that in all of the universe. And I want you to begin to understand it. Amen. That the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity that you've offended was willing to come to this earth and go to the cross and die for your sins. Can you say amen? Let me show you how much God loves you. And he continued, and Peter began to glimpse it. And he said, Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my face and my body. God is like this, then wash me all over. Begin to draw Peter. Incredible, incredible love. Everybody say incredible love. See, whatever you responded to sentimentally, you got over. Because sentiment is simply based on emotion. Whatever you responded to just intellectually, I received that, I believe that, you held in your mind for a while, and that provoked emotion from you. But real deep devotion comes from an understanding, by revelation and realization. Of how much God loved you and what it meant for God to come to this earth. Not just a good man, but a God man. There's a difference in a good man dying for you. Can you say amen? And God coming to this earth. Who was Jesus anyway? Just a good man who died on a cross? Amen? So, no, he was God incarnate. He was God incarnate. Jesus says, you won't get this. You're not going to get what we're going to do as we go on into this meal. You're not going to get it now. But you're going to look back on it after the cross, and you're going to look back on it after the resurrection, and you're going to look back on it after the Holy Ghost comes and lives within you. You're going to look back on this event, and you're going to see it. You're going to understand it. You're going to appreciate it, and you're going to keep this. And as often as you do it, you're going to remember me. And you're going to remember me washing your feet. And you're going to remember me hanging on the cross. You're going to remember me laying down my life, and you're going to fall in love with me enough to give your life for me to carry the gospel. Can you say amen? But it all starts with God washing the dirty feet of men. God, who we should be bowed with our face to the ground to. God pulling off their sandals and washing their feet. God, who angels who minister in His presence had to cover their face and their feet. They were designed by God to minister in His presence. He gave them three sets of wings. Two to move with. Two wings to move with. Two wings to cover their faces with from His presence, and two, their feet, because none of their flesh, even celestial body, none of that could be shown in His presence. This God now is girding Himself. He condescended mostly when He came down to a manger in Bethlehem. When God came down, hallelujah, to a manger in Bethlehem. The God who it was said of Him, amen, that there was nothing made that He did not make. This Jesus that stood there and looked like a normal human being, it said there's nothing in this universe that is created that He did not create. Amen. When creation happened, amen, He was there. Can you say amen? He said before Moses was, I am. Can you imagine the majesty of that? Amen. There was nothing made that He did not make. When God knelt down and began to bring this form of man out of the dust, He said, let us make man in our image. Can you say amen? He was one with the Father there's no time limit, time point on it. He was one with the Father, amen, from the beginning when there really was no beginning, from all time. Just girding Himself. Says, you won't get it now, but you're going to look back on it and get it. When they understood fully that He was God dying for them on the cross, and that He washed their feet to show how much He esteemed them and loved them. Amen. And condescended to take their sin upon His body on that tree. They devoted their life to Him to the death. Some people not only wouldn't die for Him, some people won't even live for Him. Can you say amen? Actually, living for Him requires a certain amount of death to self. Can you say amen? You can't be able, you can go to church anywhere, and if you give, they'll lower the bar to get you in. There's churches right now that won't even talk about sin or the cross too heavily and won't mention the blood too much to try to get you in. They're going to try to, by osmosis, bring you into the kingdom, that sooner or later you're going to get it. Amen. If they keep, no, honey, you don't get it. There's something wrong. Amen. We're trying to accommodate man's pride. Amen. We're calling it seeker-friendly. Honey, these people are not seeking God. They're seeking a place where they can be told everything is okay and get a feel-good message on Sunday morning. People that the Holy Spirit is drawing, people who are truly seeking God, are not looking for a church that doesn't preach the cross and proclaim the blood and forgiveness of sin. They know they've sinned. They know they've offended the Holy God, and they want forgiveness, and God, amen, gives them a message where they can repent of that sin and be forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross. We don't have to downplay the cross nor the blood of Jesus to preach the gospel in the 21st century. Hallelujah. Amen? Yeah. People are given a form of godliness that denies what? The power of. This cross has been the centerpiece of the gospel from day one. And this cross is what Jesus is going to represent. Someone who is humble enough to go to that cross. He begins by washing their feet. Can you say amen? And saying, I want to show you something here today. I want to show you the full extent of God's love. Everybody say the full extent of God's love. God washing the dirty feet of men. Begin to open that up. God in Christ taking our place on the cross. Begin to open that up. Therefore, John begins the story of the Last Supper with the words, He now showed them the full extent of His love. If without having read this passage, I were to ask you, how does Jesus show the full extent of His love? You'd probably say, at the cross. How many would probably agree, at the cross? And you'd be right. The verse, therefore, shows us that the Last Supper was simply the first act in the crucifixion. Jesus had already committed to go to that cross. Jesus set His face like a flint. But he wanted them to know through this supper what was taking place on that cross. And they really wouldn't until after it was over and he was resurrected. But then they would look back and they would begin to grasp it. They'd begin to get it. Some of you had some high emotional points in your Christian walk when you first met God. But after all the dust settled, we find out how much devotion you have. Emotion won't carry you far. Can you say amen? Devotion will take you to a cross upside down like Peter. Take you, amen, where the martyrs went. Amen? Real devotion will keep you centered in Jesus Christ no matter how much the world beckons to you. Real devotion will put Jesus above anyone else in your life. And it doesn't mean you love anyone less. It just means you love him more. Can you say amen? Amen. I don't have to love my wife less in order to love him more. If my wife left me, I would love her. If she left me for serving Christ, I would love her. My heart would break into 1,000 pieces, but I wouldn't leave him to follow her. Is it because I love her less? No, it's because I love him more. Can you say amen? We should love our God with more love than we love our children, our wives, our sons, our daughters, and even our own lives. And not just because he is our creator, but because he came down to wash the dirty feet of men. He came down to take our sin upon himself and die for us. God dying for you. God dying for me. Not just a poor man from Galilee that was just an innocent man, but God dying for you should change everything in terms of your devotion. We sing, who am I that a king would bleed and die for? I submit to you, more than a king died for you. Can you say amen? More than a high potentate laid down his life for you. God came in human form. The Christmas story is the story of God coming into this world and becoming flesh. And what did they call that baby? What was his royal titles in the book of Isaiah? And his name shall be called Wonderful. And his name shall be called Counselor. And his name shall be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I'm telling you, that little baby was God come down. And that man hanging on a tree wasn't just a great prophet, nor a great king. He was God incarnate. Emmanuel means what? Who with us? God with us. When they begin to get it, God washed my feet. The God that the angels couldn't approach without covering themselves in heaven. He bowed down and washed my feet. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord, who thought it not robbery to be called equal with God. Hallelujah. But made of himself no reputation, but humbled himself and took on himself. Where did he do that? The form of a what? A servant. Where did he do that? When he was bowing, washing the feet of the disciples. Can you say amen? Amen. Do you see that? Are you getting that? Amen. He bowed down. He washed their feet. He took on himself the form of a servant. And he went from that revelation of coming to be as a servant, God coming to be as a servant. Where does it go from there? And was obedient unto the death of the cross. Where is Jesus going from showing that kind of humility and love for fallen man? Where is he going directly from that? He's going to have that supper. He's going, amen, to the tokens of the bread and the wine that we're about to partake of. You see the progression of that mind that was in him? God humbled himself. Amen. He came in the form of man. He came and ministered as a humble servant. Amen. And was obedient even unto the death of the cross. I want you to say this out loud with me again. And just say this. Amen. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord, who made of himself no reputation, but humbled himself and took on himself the form of a servant and was obedient even unto the death of the cross. This is the divine pattern. This is divine love. This is what God has done for you and for me through Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? He starts by humbling himself and showing, I didn't come to be ministered unto. I came to minister. Wow. And he said, you don't understand this yet. There's a day, see, when it dawns on them, this was God hanging on the tree. This was God washing our feet. Their hearts melted with love and devotion. Everybody say their hearts melted with love and devotion. Hallelujah. How can you not love a God that condescends? See, none of us deserve that. No, nobody in this room deserves that. He deserves that kind of honor. We don't. But he loved us that much. And he was showing them the full extent of his love. I love you enough to bow down and gird myself and wash your feet. And what did he want from them? He wanted them to love him back. Can you say, man, we love him because what? What is the cause and effect? Because he first loved us. See, we've got to, once the dynamic of anointing came into view after the day of Pentecost, we quit focusing on the love that solicits love. We just got after the power and not the person. We're committed today to following powerful people instead of the humble Nazarene. We know little in pulpits about the basin and the towel. And until we learn about it, we can't minister Christ to anyone, not the Christ of Scripture. Amen? Amen? We can minister the Word to everyone, but ministering Jesus and ministering the Scripture is different. There's an anointing on the Word, and there's an anointing to preach it. But ministering to Jesus is not just the Word of God being preached on Sunday morning. It's compassion. It's caring. It's loving. It's serving. He that would be the greatest among you, what did Jesus teach and demonstrate? Let him first become what he was demonstrating. The servant to you all. Can you say amen? The servant to you all. The servant to you all. The servant to you all. How did we ever get ministry away from the servant heart and put up on this pedestal that we have placed it? We have made some of these aberrations of ministry. We have done it. People that are supposed to be following the Christ that are following the anointing on a woman, the anointing on a man. And no wonder it's made such a mess. We've given them power and allocates that they shouldn't be after in the first place. Can you say amen? Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be called equal with God, made of himself no reputation. Wow. Isn't that incredible? We get a little touch from heaven and we write a whole book about our anointing. We get a little victory, we write a book about how to have faith like we got. Instead of how big God is. Can you say amen? How good God is. Can you say amen? This is not about your great faith. If victory comes to you, it's about your great God. Hallelujah. It's not about my great faith. It's about my great God. If anything happens through my faith, it's faith in my great God. Hallelujah. Amen. And when I talk about his victory, it don't put me in the spotlight, it puts him in the spotlight. Well, I'm going to break your bubble this morning. No matter how highly you're anointed, without Jesus on that cross, you are a hunk of mud. Apart from him, you can do nothing. It's all about him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's about him. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord, who though he thought it not robbery, to be called equal with God. Hallelujah. Amen. He made of himself no reputation, but he humbled himself and took on himself the form of a servant. He said, I'm going to show you the full extent of my love. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Took on himself the form of a servant and was obedient even unto the death of the cross. You see it in when he washed their feet just before they received the Passover meal, just before he began to tell them, this is the New Testament in my blood, and this is my body that is broken for you. Do you see that mindset played out? The servant heart, the death on the cross for us, God dying for you. incredible. When they got it, it transformed their lives. Can you say amen? It changed Peter from a faltering, failing man to a stalwart saint, a devoted servant, a man willing to die a martyr's death. Jesus was able to tell him early on how he would end up. He said, you know something, when you were young, you were so headstrong and so self-willed. Amen. When you were young, you girded yourself and you went and did what you pleased. But when you get a little bit older, others will gird you and take you where you wouldn't go yourself. But he went. Can you say, and the Bible said, thus signifying the death by which he would what? Glorify Christ. Can you say amen? The death to self is all, it's not just being put on that cross and martyred. The death to self, amen, because of love for God, is always the death that glorifies Christ. Somebody give him praise in this room. Hallelujah. That's why he said, if you want to be my disciple, let this death to self take place. But don't just do it out of some fatalistic attitude. Do it out of intense love. I don't love my children any less to love God more. I don't have to love my mom and my daddy less to love God more. I don't have to love a friend less to love God more. I don't have to love my wife less to love God more. I don't put God on the level of wife, son, father, mother relationship. Can you say amen? Because he's God and he gave his life for me. I can't put him on the level with anybody else on this planet. I don't love them less. I love him more. Can you say amen? We get the idea if we love him with all our heart, we can't love anybody else with our whole heart. You can be wholeheartedly in love with your spouse, but don't let your spouse take you from Jesus. Amen. Don't follow your lover into sin. Amen. If you know what he's worth, can you say amen? Do you understand where we're going with it? Love transformed those men. And when they transformed in their heart and devoted their life to him, then when that power came, that power was utilized because they loved him and were devoted. Can you say amen? We got people, we got them emotionally stirred, then we filled them with power. They never got rooted and grounded in love, so they didn't get devotion. There are some people that didn't go after the power initially, but they got rooted and grounded in love. You'll find them in church every Sunday, given sacrificially to missions. They do not speak in tongues. They do not fall out. They do not get holy laughter, but they are consistent as a day is long. Go to Sunday school. They love God's word. Sunday school plans bigger than the worship service. Come to a Pentecostal Bible study. Honey, it'll thin them out. Because all that's going to be is studying his wonderful word. Amen. If you're not laying hands on the sick or giving a word of knowledge, some people just don't show up. But if you ever fall in love with God, everything he says, you'll want to hear it. It brings devotion. Devotion. Come to a Pentecostal worship service where people have not devoted their life and fell in love with him, you won't find true worshipers. You'll find people wanting to get another blessing, not to give God the glory that is due it. Amen. It don't matter whether you feel God or not. When you come to a real worship service, thank God for the presence that he manifests when we truly worship him. But it doesn't matter whether you feel him or not. That's not an issue. Amen? Amen? He died for you on the cross. That's the issue. What are you going to do in response to that? Wait for him to bless you with something else? No, thank him for that. Can you say amen? Brother, I just don't feel like worshiping today. Well, that doesn't matter. Come on and worship anyway. Amen. That doesn't change what he did on the cross. Your emotional state, come on, your emotional state on Sunday morning does not change what he did on the cross. But what he did on the cross can certainly change your emotional state. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise. You quit focusing on, amen, you quit focusing on your bad emotions and start focusing on what he has done on the cross for you and see the full extent of his love. I guarantee you, nothing has happened to you, amen, that can compare with what he's done for you. Somebody give him praise. You don't understand. Somebody has broken my heart. Well, it wasn't Jesus who did it. He's the healer of the brokenhearted. Get your focus on off of him who broke your heart onto him who can put it back together again. Somebody give him praise today. This is all part of our true worship experience. It's not simply the Passover that happened the night before. Jesus planned this supper as part of his trip to the cross. He planned it long before, when he had Moses institute the Passover. From before time, the cross was in view. Jesus is the lamb who was slain. When is an afterthought, when man blew it and God had to come up with a quick plan? No, he was the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. When God laid the foundation of the world before he created man, he had in his mind this meal. He had in his mind that cross. He had in his mind this lamb. Can you say amen? You give man a sovereign will, he may make the wrong choice. Amen. You provide a way back if he does. Can you say amen? You provide the way back before you even make the man and give him free will. Can you say amen? God, halabasita. You are here today, healed from sin's deadly wound, saved and sealed for heaven because I came. I took your place. I bridged the gap that sin had made so you could come back, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. That's the full extent of God's love. We became power conscious people. We're following people for their anointings, their dynamic, their charisma. We're even called, in the full gospel spectrum, charismatic. Charisma simply means the gifts of the Spirit is called charisma. Charismata. The gifts of the Spirit. All of these manifestations of God's power. But you don't fall in love with charisma. Amen? You fall in love with a person. Jesus came to show us what God is like as a person. So before the supper, he humbles himself and shows God came to become your servant, in effect, because of how much your Creator, your God that you sinned against, wants to save you. But he can't because of your sin, but he loves you. So he girded himself. He got down on his knees, and he began to unlatch the sandals of those men, pull off their sandals. And the God, the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, that angels had to be shielded when they were created to minister in his presence, began to wash their feet. And then he began to tell them, amen, that he was going to be. And they didn't get it then. They saw it afterwards in retrospect. He began to tell them, amen, I'm going to give my body and I'm going to shed my blood so that you can have life. That's, he began to show them the what? The full extent. Say it with me, the full extent. The full extent, the full, say it again, the full extent of God's love. Not just his love, but the full extent of his love. It's as if he were saying, now you will see it all. We see it in the Passover, a picture of redemption. We see it in the garden where Jesus commits to the death. We see it on the cross. Is there any greater love than a man dying for another? Not just his love, not just the full extent, but the verb here is he showed them. He didn't tell them. He did not reveal some startling new doctrine. He showed them. Can you say, man? Everybody say he showed them. When he girded himself and began to wash their feet, he showed them. Amen? About. This is just praise this time. This is not a message to be interpreted. This is just praise from the unction. And it's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. We could almost take a praise break right here. This is holy stuff. He showed them. Theologically, we can tell. But only in following Jesus can we show. Can you say amen? Well, this morning, you know what? We're going to have show and tell. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. In Holy Communion, we're going to have show and tell. Praise God. Praise God. Listen carefully. This idea of following the dynamic of the anointing, the charismata, instead of following the character of God revealed in Jesus Christ. The Bible said, be ye followers of God, Ephesians 5 and verse 1, as dear children, and walk in love, even as Christ. Can you say amen? The word follower in the Greek is not just walking along behind. It is being an imitator. It's the word imitate. It's be like him. Let this mind be in you that was also in him. Can you say amen? You that want to make a reputation for yourself as spiritual by operating in the gifts so people will classify you in another spiritual class. You missed it. You missed it. That's for you. You're not doing it to edify the congregation. You're doing it to get your own personal satisfaction out of it. It's an ego stroke. When you humble yourself, you don't worry about you. You want to minister to someone else. And if that gift can flow to edify the body, it said, you know, tongues without love become what? Is it symbolic of God's great power and pleasure? No, it becomes sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. Amen? Faith to remove mountains. We put faith on such a pedestal. Faith to remove mountains without love is the foundation. Will only move the mountains that are in your way. You won't care about the mountains that are in the way of the poverty-stricken, the needy, the sick, amen, the mentally ill. You won't care about none of that. Amen? You'll just tell what a big car and house you just bought. Can you say amen because of your great faith? Amen. Jesus didn't come to talk about the material part of this thing. He came to, when he saw the sick and the halt and the maimed coming out of every quarter, the Bible said he was moved with compassion. Can you say amen? Everybody say his life was love driven. I think I'll write a book. And maybe it'll become a bestseller at the Goodwill. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But you know what I would call it? I would call it the love-driven life. Hallelujah. Listen, folks, everybody's looking for their purpose. You start loving, you'll find it. God created you to love him and love man, love your neighbor. It's a love-love thing. Everybody say it's a love-love thing. I didn't say thing now, I said thing. Can you say amen? It's a love thing. Look at somebody and say, this is a love thing. Can you? Amen. You understand what I'm saying this morning? This is not about gifts and charismata. This is about a God who loved you enough to send his son to raise up ministers, to give them basins and towels, to give them gifts so they can bless and edify who? The body of Christ that he's so deeply in love with. Hallelujah. Ministers are a gift to you, to love you. And there's no sweeter satisfaction in ministry than feeling the love of God flow through us. Hallelujah. That's why the woman that went to work on the streets of Calcutta, coming from a very sheltered life like we are in America, on the streets of Calcutta, she said there was a man lying in his own excrement, dying, too sick to move, an old man, and they laid him on the street. He's dying. There's flies over him. He's laying in his own filth, and he's sick. And she said, that was my first candidate to minister to love, to show. Everybody say, show. Jesus was going to show love when he hung on that cross. Not just talk about it in great theological terms and revelation. He was going to show it. Can you say amen? She walked over and she said, at first, I was gagged by the ghastly sight. First, my eyes were attacked by the ghastly sight, but then the smell began to come up from a man unwashed and laying in his own filth. And to go over to that man in the name of Jesus Christ and begin to bathe him and then to feed him. And she said, at first, I thought, oh, Jesus, I can't get through this, but I want to serve you. Isn't it amazing that she got it? Amen. Her book will never be on a bestsellers list. They'll never turn a TV camera, flip the lights on her down here in this world. But I guarantee you heaven's cameras went right on that. And I guarantee you heaven's spotlights went right down on that. Because she was demonstrating what Jesus was talking about. Can you say amen? When you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, was going over in her mind as she began to pray. Amen. For the strength to minister to this man. That everybody else would leave there to die in his own excrement. Without love, without concern. concern to be one more man to be picked up in a wagon and carried off, amen, and put lime on his body in a pit somewhere where they took people that couldn't afford funerals and either burn them or bury them. And yet here she is. And something she said began to replay in my mind. Amen. It's near that what would Jesus do, amen, type of stuff. Amen. And the scripture replayed in her mind, when you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And she said, suddenly, that it was transformed. The stench, the sight, the experience transformed. Suddenly I was not ministering to some unknown, maybe even undeserving person. She said, suddenly it's as if I was ministering to Jesus. See, when pure love flows, amen, thou shalt do what? This is the on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It's all summed up and consummated in two commandments. You shall love the Lord with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord. Love, 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 love. Horizontally, amen, and vertically. It's about love. Everybody say it's a love thing. How did we take it out of the love context and put it in the power context? You don't devote your life to a powerful experience you get when God is near. You devote your life to a person who hangs on a cross and shows you love to the full extent. Huh? That's why people with powerful anointings can quit God and become like the world in their values. How can they do that with such an anointing? Because the anointing is not him. You shall receive what? When the Holy Ghost comes. Power. Dunamis. Miracle working ability is not what you fall in love with. You fall in love with the one who hung on that cross. The missionaries that have went to the nations of the world, on the walls of Moody is inscribed the names of the men and women who have died in foreign fields for their faith. Now I'm telling you, those names not only appear on the walls of Moody, in heaven, amen, in heaven, underneath the throne, there's a whole bunch of folks, amen, that gave their life. How close are they to God in heaven? Right there at his throne. Who do we give the credibility to? Hotshot preacher in a big car with an anointing. That after the service wouldn't give you the time of day. But Jesus was different. Jesus was different. The Son of Man didn't come to be ministered to. The Son of Man came to minister. You know what he's going to do at the marriage supper? As this full revelation of God is in view, you know what he's going to do at the marriage supper? Same thing he did at that supper. Whew, you didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. You know what Christ is going to do when we're there and the full revelation of him is in view? Gird himself in service. Incredible. This same Jesus that was down here is going to be up there. I'm glad that Jesus is the one I'm serving. Amen. I've seen the pride and the arrogance and self-exaltation of man, and frankly, I'm not impressed. But this guy, this God who came in flesh, who bowed down and unlatched shoes and then went to an old rugged cross, that guy, that God, he impresses me. Because he's not like us. He's not selfish. He's not self-serving. He's selfless and sacrificing. He said, I want to show you what real love looks like. And I want real love in return. I've seen the emotional response and I know how to solicit it. I've preached for over 30 years. I know buttons to push to get a tear in your eye. But tears in your eyes do not translate into following Christ in your life. There has to be more than an emotional response to the man who hung on the tree. There has to be a realization this was God dying for me. And I'm going to hold him in high esteem. Can you say amen? In fact, I'm going to hold him in the highest place in my heart. There's no place in my heart higher than where I hold him. No relationship. I see people let another person pull them away from Christ. Their devotion to another person pulls them immediately away from Jesus. They didn't get it. Come on, you can't get it and put some earthly person above him. I guarantee you nobody's going to love you like he did. Nobody can love you like he did. If you're looking for love, you're looking in all the wrong places until you look for it in Christ. The prophets revealed God's love. and mirrored it in the best way they were able, Jesus showed them in person. The Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, marks the full revealing. What then does it reveal to us? Love is first and foremost a sacrifice. In animal sacrifice, the Passover was proclaimed. And the death angel passed over Israel. At the cross, love himself became the sacrifice. The death angel has passed over us. When he returns, we'll rise to meet him. The price of this victory over the grave was paid for at Mount Calvary. For this reason, we remember the extent of his love. That's what we do in Holy Communion. Let me make a few statements before we receive. The extent of God's love was not revealed when Jesus fed the hungry multitude. That was love, but not the full extent. Nor when he turned the water to wine at the wedding feast at Cana of Galilee. Nor when he raised the widow's son from the dead, or Jairus' daughter, or Lazarus come forth. That was great love, but that wasn't the full extent. They were getting glimpses, but not seeing clearly. Nor when he healed the leper, neither when he opened the eyes of the blind man, Bartimaeus, or the man who washed his eyes in the pool of Siloam. Or a legion of demons were cast out of the man of the tombs that chains couldn't hold. Or the poor man's son who threw himself into the fire. It wasn't when he spoke to the wind and waves to save his disciples from the storm. It's when he took our place on the cross. That's when we see the full extent of God's love. Not when he answered that prayer, helped you out of that dilemma, but when he died for you on Calvary. That's what we praise him for every Sunday. That's what we live our life in devotion for. It's not if God, you'll do this, I'll do that. It's Lord, you've done that, I'm going to do this. Can you say amen? You've done it. If you never do anything else for me, that one act is enough for me to serve you with all the days of my life. Somebody give him praise. Jesus taught that there's no greater love than laying down one's life to save another. On the radio broadcast, I made an allusion to a book. People don't know how many Italians were killed by the Germans, but tens of thousands of Italians who fought against Germany, who didn't go along with Mussolini, were executed during World War II. Tens of thousands of forgotten people that rarely ever even talked about. But a book was written that brought that all of those deaths to our attention again. And an illustration of substitutionary death comes from the great recent bestseller. When I say recent, this is back some years ago, of Captain Corelli's Mandolin. I don't know what the book is about. I just know an excerpt from it. I'm not advocating the movie, the book. I'm telling you, this from it illustrates in a way that maybe we can understand a little bit this morning. Captain Corelli and his great friend Carlo and their fellow Italian soldiers are to be executed by the Nazis. Italy having joined the Allies to fight against Germany near the end of the war. The carnage, and I'm going to quote from the book, had none of the ritual formality of such occasions that film and paintings might suggest. The victims were not lined up against the wall. They were not blindfolded, faced away, or faced toward. Many of them were left on their knees, praying, weeping, or pleading. Some stood smoking casually, as at a party, trying to literally deny what was about to take place by not letting their mind go there. And Carlo stood to attention next to Corelli, glad to die at last and resolved with all his heart to die a soldier's death. After the shooting began, the prisoners wheeling and dancing in the horizontal rain were crying out. They fell to their knees, their hands flailing, their nostrils haunted by the stench of cordite, searing cloth and oil, their mouths filling with the dry and dusty tang of blood. Some stood up again, holding out their arms like Christ, burying their chest in the hope of a quicker death, a shorter route through pain. What no one had seen was that at the order to fire, Carlo had stepped smartly sideways like a soldier forming ranks. Antonio Corella, in a haze of nostalgia and forgetfulness, had found in front of him the titanic bulk of Carlo, I'm going to try to pronounce this, Garcia. And he had found that he had taken his wrist when he stepped in front of him and gripped them painfully in his mighty fist. behind him, shielding him from the hail of bullets. Carlos stood unbroken as one bullet after another burrowed like white-hot parasitic knives into the muscles of his chest. Eventually, Carlo flung himself over backwards as he was dying. Corelli lay beneath him, paralyzed by his weight, drenched utterly in his blood, stupefied by an act of love so incomprehensible and ineffable, so filled with divine madness. "Who am I?" The songwriter says that a king would bleed and die. I'm going to go beyond that songwriter's statement and say, who are we that God would come in flesh? God who we sinned against, God who we offended, God who we blasphemed. Who are we that he? Is that enough to stupefy? They thought Jesus was mad to not open his mouth, not call fire out of heaven, not call angels. He wasn't mad. He was in love with you and me. A love so unbelievable, so incomprehensible, so ineffable. Now multiply that by eternity. So it was with Jesus' love. Not for a friend, but while we were yet sinners. In his love for particular people who at one time were his enemies, he had laid down his life for them. Isaac Watts said it well in part of the lyric from a song he wrote. His dying crimson, like a robe, spreads o'er his body on the tree. Then I am dead to all the world, and all the world is dead to me. That's why Paul said, because of this cross and this act of love, I am crucified to the world, and the world crucified to me. If I will glory, I will glory in my gifts, my faith. No, if I will glory, I will glory in the cross. Hallelujah. Somebody say in the cross. Hallelujah. I want to see some people with great faith and great gifts and great preaching abilities begin to extol him that was upon that cross again. Amen. I yearn to tune in on television and hear about the one who died for me. I don't get tired of this old, old story. And I want you to know through the blood that came down that tree, I am healed within and without. I am blessed beyond measure. I do not measure my riches by the car I drive, the clothes I wear, the gold or lack of it on my finger. I measure it by the love that God showed me on the cross. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise today. Hallelujah. And a God like that ain't going to let you go hungry or naked. And a God like that is not going to refuse your cry when you call upon him. We're rich in love. Are you ready to have show and tell? Because every time we do this, we do show his death till he comes. We Christians all over the world since the first church, amen. This Last Supper is not really the Last Supper, is it? He still comes where two or more of us together to exalt his name and communes with us. And he's here today. Would you serve us holy?